This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Welcome to Bathurst Pillars with Brett Van Heekeren and Rob McLaughlin. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
I thought with this very first episode that we'd take a look at the concept of the pillars. But first, maybe we should introduce your good self. Who are you?
And who am I?
And what is your role in the Bathurst Pillars project?
Well, I'm an historian. I taught history for a long time at Charles Sturt University, but I'm long since retired. And I do work for Bathurst Regional Council as a consulting historian and someone who researches and writes history for them. And the Bathurst Pillars is one such project.
So the pillars, it sounds like an extremely interesting project. Where are they located for a start?
Well, okay. Well, let's start with the physical facts. Stanley Street, down by the river. They're near the bridge on George Street, just below Old Government Cottage. You'll see them down on the riverbank there. And to give you what to look for, you'll see it's rather an attractive garden park setting of 20 cast iron pillars set out in pairs with a connecting beam across and in an oval walk set around a small garden. It's suggestive, and that's intentional, of a classic Greek temple, okay? And each of the pillars sits on a square plinth with four sides on the plinth. So 4 times 20 equals 80. So we have space for 80 plaques.
So they have a very distinctive look about them, as you have described. Where did they come from?
Well, the pillars themselves are actually from the back veranda of the Royal Hotel on William Street, and when they were remodeling the refurbishing, repurposing the Royal Hotel some decades ago, they were rescued by a local resident, and they came eventually into the possession of Bathurst Regional Council and were stored for many years in their depot. So they have been rescued again, and they found a new home and a new purpose as the Bathurst Pillars.
So on these pillars, we have some individual plaques placed.
That's right. And on the plaque, you'll get the name of the person being honored. We usually use the name as they were known to people at the time. You get the year of birth, the year of death, and you'll get a one-line descriptor or epitaph which sums up why they have earned a plaque. Sometimes it's very factual. Sometimes it's somewhat whimsical. Sometimes it's a quote from something written about them. And sometimes the wording's based on a suggestion by the nominator. 3 to 5 words. So, to give you some examples, Caroline Kightley, her descriptor or epitaph is heroine of Rockley. Now, there's a story there, but I'm not going to tell you today. We'll save her for another time, okay? And then you've got Bluey Wilkinson. Now, that might be a name known to many of your listeners. And his epitaph reads, champion motorcyclist, which indeed he was. And we'll tell his tale in due course. Oh, and who else can I give you here? Oh, there's Joe Yates, bush musician. And then you get people like, sometimes the epitaph or the scripture is rather whimsical. Walla Miranda. Now, that name may not be familiar to many people, but that was the name she chose for herself. And her descriptor? Can almost guess it from her name, dared to be different, and she certainly did. We'll tell her story in due course. So that's basically it, the name of the person, year of birth, year of death, and then an epitaph or a descriptor of 3 to 5 words. That's all that goes on the plaque.
Those descriptors are very evocative, as you've already demonstrated. Was there a criteria for choosing
The plaques themselves.
The plaques themselves, yeah. Yes.
Well, there's a very important criteria, and this has became an issue in one case. You must be dead. There was somebody who was nominated that wasn't dead. And so we had to write and suggest they must wait a while. But you must be dead. That's absolutely important. And then the way it works is it's not like this sort of hard and fast rules. It's not that you have to be really, really, really famous to go there and get a plaque. Basically, it's that there are people from the Bathurst region, not just Bathurst City, but from the Bathurst region, who have contributed in an interesting and significant way to the story of Bathurst. You might have been born here. You might have come to Bathurst late in life. Your story, your life story, might be a story that took place beyond Bathurst, like C.E.W. Bean, the Anzac legend man. He has a plaque. In some cases, you may have never left Bathurst. And we have a plaque for a baby who only lived for 15 minutes. And we gave her a plaque because she felt she told something of the story of children in the Bathurst region in the 19th century, you know, the whole issue of child mortality. So she has a plaque. So it's wide and varied as to why you might have earned a plaque.
There must be hundreds of these stories, Rob. How many plaques can we actually fit on the pillars and allocate to the project?
Well, this is one of the great challenges of the whole project. We've got 20 pillars, right? And we've got a plinth with four sides. So 4 times 20 equals 80. So we have space for 80 plaques. But we are not limited to just putting one name on a plaque. Sometimes it's a husband and wife who have both contributed something in their own right, okay? Sometimes it's a father and son. Sometimes it's, in one case, we've got 3 sisters, the Golding sisters from up at Sally's Flat, who each individually earned fame for themselves as early feminists. In fact, they even rate an entry in the Australian Dictionary of Biography. Or we sometimes have people who are on the same plaque because they shared a career of some sort. So we have 3 famous cricketers, plus 3 famous photographers, Bathurst photographers. So sometimes it's 1, sometimes it's 2, sometimes it's 3 on the 80 plaques.
So it seems as though they're theme-based rather than personality-based.
Well, it comes back to you must have a story to tell. And so that story invariably is going to lend itself to some manner of theme, you know, whether it's photography or whether it's you're an early pioneer or you're a policeman or whatever it might be. But when we're lucky enough to find, say, 2 or 3 people that can share that same theme, well, then we can put them together on the one plaque. So it allows us to increase the number of people who are plaqued from just 80 to well over 100.
So you've established a context nicely for this in terms of what it is and what people will see and the reason for being on the plaque. How about we go back to the origins of the project? How did it come into being?
Well, it really began with me in about 10 years ago. I raised the idea with Janet Bingham, one of Bathurst Regional Council's planners, of us creating a memorial walk commemorating past Bathurstians with plaques set into the pavement, okay? I mean, look, I'll tell you what, I just got really angry one day. I was walking in front of council chambers, and I saw all those plaques for the race car drivers. These guys, they come for a weekend, right, win a race, and they get a plaque. And I thought to myself, well, you know, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of Bathurstians, or people of the Bathurst area, okay? So it's not just Bathurst City, who have done so much, you know, maybe for Bathurst, but maybe for a wider, you know, a wider context, maybe for the nation, maybe, you know, beyond that. They've done so much, and we're not commemorating them, we're not remembering them. Yes, we name a street after some people, that sort of thing. And I had just come back from Adelaide, and I'd seen in Adelaide on the terraces how they had these plaques for people from throughout the state who had made some kind of contribution. I thought, why can't we do something like that here? So that's where the idea came from, the idea of let's have pavement plaques. So we talked it through, and others joined the conversation. Felicity Baines at the Visitors Information Center, Barbara Hickson, Bathurst Regional Council's Heritage Advisor, Nick Murphy, another planner. We talked it through, and we came up with this idea of why don't we reuse those pillars? Margaret Glenn, actually, who's now deceased, but at that time was active with the National Trust, she was the one that actually brought the pillars to our attention. So it all kind of coalesced, if you like, and we came up with this idea of the Bathurst Pillars. Let's do the Bathurst Pillars.
What a fabulous idea, and what a fabulous use of that historical artifact.
Well, indeed, yes, because the council was rather puzzled, you know, unsure. What were they going to do with these pillars? What can you do with them? And so we found a purpose for them, but we also found, you know, a way in which we could commemorate the stories of past residents of the Bathurst area and tell their stories. So what I should add here at this point is that we have the plaques, yes, on the pillars, but we also produce every year a booklet which lists all the people who've been given a plaque and provides a brief biography of what they did, why we're remembering them. And to bring in our radio programs, we're now going to do this on 2MCFM and with each and tell the stories of the people who have a plaque at the Bathurst Pillars. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you a story every week.
I can't wait. I can't wait, because there'll no doubt be some fascinating stories, because you've already tantalized us with some little teasers. But before we start to get into storytelling, was there some kind of process for selecting candidates?
Well, yeah, we started off with actually the idea that we'd only have 20 plaques, 20 pillars, 20 plaques. And it fell to me as sort of this historical historian, the consultant, that I was sent away to come up with lists. And I did that. I went through indexes to various Bathurst histories, found names. I drew on my own knowledge, my own resources. And, you know, that's where I got a little worried, because I realized that, my God, there's hundreds of potential plaque people here. And that's when we increased the idea to from 20 plaques to 80 plaques, okay? And so we worked through, this is to get the first names up for 2015, okay? That's when the plaques were inaugurated, if you like. So to get those first 20 plaques up, we met as a committee, we went through my lists, and we tried to pick out a diverse range of people, in terms of what they did, and also in terms of when they did it. So not everybody was, say, 19th century. There were some 20th century people as well. And we tried to get a gender balance as well. And this is a point of pride. I'd like to make this point, that we have about, I think it's about 30% of the plaques are for women, right? That's a better ratio than the Australian Dictionary of Biography. Much better ratio. So we've tried to make, you know, tried to do that all along to make sure it isn't just about just, say, famous men. And also, too, what we tried to do was not just limit ourselves to the really famous names. So there's no plaque for Ben Chifley. And there should not be a plaque for Ben Chifley, because what we decided very early on, these should be people who perhaps are not as well remembered as they should be. So these should be, well, use a cricket term if you like. These are kind of, some of these people are the second 11, okay? Or if we use a hockey term, the second six. So the second 11. So some of the names down there, people recognize the name. They'll see E.W. Bean, for example, the war historian. Believe it or not, he's not all that well acknowledged in Bathurst with a plaque or a memorial or a statue, okay? So we selected him, because we felt that he was a name that should be remembered. Now, that's how we started. But what we've done since 2015 is we've invited nominations from the public. So a lot of the names that are there now and are going up now over the next couple of years are names that have come from the general public. And they have to make a case as to why this person should have a plaque. And in most cases, we accept the argument. Sometimes we have to, because I say, unfortunately, one person was not yet dead, so we had to reject that person, but with a vague promise that maybe in the future we will consider that name.
I'm assuming there's going to be an end goal here. This storytelling can't go on forever. What is the maximum end point
well, the maximum
for this storytelling?
The maximum endpoint is a physical maximum endpoint, is when we run out of plaques. And that's going to happen probably next year. We've only got a few spaces left as of 2021. We've only got a few spaces left, and we anticipate those spaces will be filled with the 2022 intake, we call it. They get announced on Proclamation Day. That's the day at which we have a physical unveiling, if you like, of the new plaques for the year. And we anticipate in 2022 all spaces will be filled. However, there is a plan.
Of course.
Of course there's a plan. There's always a plan. We're going to go digital. And the Bathurst pillars will continue, not just as the physical pillars down on the riverbank that are already there, but will continue in a digital format where we will continue to take names onto digital plaques, if you like, and announce them every year. And this is exciting in that this will allow for more direct participation by the public. So you'll be able to nominate your person online, and then in due course that nomination will appear as an official plaque, if you like, with those details of that person in terms of name, date of birth, and date of death, and their epitaph or descriptor line, plus a biography, a written biography online, and photographs too, hopefully.
You mentioned Adelaide, a similar project in Adelaide as part of the inspiration for this particular project. Yeah. Do you know of anything else like this out there?
Well, in truth, I really don't. I mean, in London, they've got those blue plaques on buildings, which is a wonderful thing for sure. And you will get, obviously, plaques and monuments, memorials to individuals, you know, in a community. But and of course, we have our war memorials, which is, you know, a similar concept in many ways. But I don't know of any community anywhere else that has anything quite like what we have in Bathurst with the Bathurst pillars. You know, a physical presentation of those names and stories on pillars, plaques on pillars in a lovely garden setting. I don't know of anywhere else that has that.
Well, Robin, thank you for setting up the context for the Bathurst Pillars, and we look forward to hearing all of these fascinating stories.
Well, thank you.
This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage garden located at Macquarie Park on the banks of the Macquarie River. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.